In the book of John, chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, "Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." This Lazarus guy, he was a problem. Just the fact that he was a walking, talking testimonial to the miraculous power of Jesus. And the fact that he was just alive was a problem. And so the Bible tells us that some of the Jewish leadership began to plan and to plot to have him put to death because of the problem that he created. And the text tells us why right here. "Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." After all, again, the man was evidence just in walking and talking and being who he is and who he was. And you know, you could say that there's much truth in principle in that little verse. Because what it teaches us is that each of us has some manner of influence upon others. We can influence people for good and we can influence them for ill. It's up to us. But every one of us has a circle of people whom we are able to influence. We talk sometimes about peer pressure. Peer pressure assumes that we have peers, that there are people that we're close to, and that we can pressure them or they can pressure us. And the idea of peer pressure is quite a real one. But I want to talk about the fact that that peer pressure can be either positive or negative. So let's talk about some illustrations of it. Because of you, many things are so. You may not realize it. You may not be aware of the fact. But because of you, it may be that some people are still in their sins. You see, right behavior shows the right way. Realizing that, what about bad behavior? What does it do? Well, the scripture tells us something about that. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 2 and at verse 12, the Bible says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the visitation." It's very possible that someone, by your character, by the nature of your lifestyle, if it's a negative one, then there are people who are still in their sins because of the stumbling block that you present by your life. And so Jesus said that we are to be salt and light. The salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what we're supposed to be. Matthew 5, verses 16 and following. Well then, I want you to think about the fact also that because of you, someone, or maybe many someones, may be brokenhearted or discouraged. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, the Bible tells the story of the spies. And they discouraged others by their discouragement. It says, "They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And so the follow-up goes on to say in chapter 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and wept. Now, isn't that sad? Because of this evil report, this discouraging word that they spoke, as a result of this, the Bible says, the people lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? And the end of that story is that they got exactly what they asked for. They died in the wilderness, and they never saw the promised land. We have to remember that we can be the tragedy in somebody else's life. We can be the one who breaks their heart or discourages them to the point that they just want to quit. And we have to be very careful because we are thus responsible. But also we need to reflect upon the fact that because of ourselves, because of you perhaps, some may be forsaking their worship responsibilities. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice of sins. Now, based on what that 26th verse says, the author is saying, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, it's possible for us to sin willfully. And sinning willfully in this particular regard has to do with forsaking our worship opportunities. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves in every instance, have I set the right example for others? Have I been an exemplary person as regards the worship services myself? Do I attend regularly? Am I there? If not, then am I a discouragement to someone else who ought to be? Or am I perhaps an encouragement to them to do the wrong thing? It can be either. What about your own family? The sad thing is those who are nearest to us and dearest to us are the ones who are most influenced by us. And if we set the right example, then all is good. But if we set the wrong example, the saddest thing is that the ones whom we love the most are the ones who will be influenced to do the wrong thing. In the fourth place, we need to ask the question in regard to some who may have stumbled and fallen. Could it be me? You remember when the disciples were all sitting around the table and Jesus talked about one of them giving him up. One of them being a traitor. Each of them looked at Jesus and said, is it I, Lord? Now, of course, Judas Iscariot said it too. And Judas was the one. But there are going to be people who are going to stumble and they're going to fall. And the Bible gives a very clear warning in regard to such things. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them, and he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Now watch this. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe upon me, it were better for him that a millstone were tied about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Could you imagine the horror that one would experience if a great stone were tied about one's neck and he was thrown into the water just the first few seconds that you entered the water? What horror, terror would fill your heart. Well, just to think of that, and that's exactly what Jesus wanted us to reflect upon. He wanted to see how awful it was, how dangerous it was, how terribly real is that danger. If I cause someone who believes in Jesus to stumble and to fall, then I become responsible. And it's important for me to reflect upon that because I could be the one. Well, then we need also to think about the fact that some may be believers today because of us. Remember in Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Every person who comes to Christ, every person who is a believer, every person who submits himself in gospel obedience by being immersed in water for remission of sins, every such person has someone, and sometimes a number of persons, who have contributed to that point, to that point when that person became a believer. When they became obedient, there was someone and perhaps a number of people who helped them along and brought them to that point. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things which thou hast heard from me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." It's that very point that's so important. Who shall be able to teach others also? Every one of us has made a difference in the life of someone, maybe of many someones. And we may not even be conscious of it. That's what's so interesting about it, is the fact that it's so dynamic, the process is, that others may be influenced greatly and in a marvelous way, and you not even be aware of it. Perhaps they may not even be aware of it. So it's important for us to understand we have a light that must shine. We have salt that must be the thing that influences others for good. And it's important that we reflect upon it and see our responsibility in that regard. But also because of you, some may be obedient today. In 1 Peter chapter 3, at verse 1, Peter said, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." Now watch this, "that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives." Now he's not talking just about how they talk. The word conversation there means manner of life. The manner of their life. They see the person and they reflect upon it and they say, "You know what? That's a good lifestyle. I want to live like that too." He said, "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel." He said, "But the hidden man or the hidden person of the heart." That's what we're supposed to be. And so we need to understand that we can't afford to just be careless in regard to such things. The word careless means I couldn't care less, right? And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who live their lives just like that. I couldn't care less. But we need to be careful people in regard to that. And by that I mean we need to care. Because some may be obedient today because of us. But also because of you, some may be faithful to the Lord today. You know, Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 1, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." Necessarily, each and every one of us sees people in our lives whom we consider to be the kind of folk that we want to be like. We want to be like them. And as we're growing up, especially as young people, we set certain models before ourselves. And it's interesting. I can, myself, in my own life, I can reflect back upon, and I can tell you the names of two or three people who just made such a significant difference in my life. And I will tell you that they influenced me to be like them. I wanted very much to be like them. I don't know whether I've been able to be successful in that, but they were good people whom I wanted to be like. And every one of us wants to be that way. We hope that we will be the kind of person that will be like that. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul reflected, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Now he's talking about Timothy himself. He said, "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he said, "I am persuaded now in thee also." That's beautiful, isn't it? Because that faith pre-existed, didn't it? And you can trace it back. You can trace it back first to Lois, and then you can trace it to Eunice, and then you can trace it to Timothy. It went from one to the other. But you'll notice there's no mention of Timothy's father. Isn't that sad? Timothy's father doesn't even get, you know, secondary mention. He was a Greek, the Bible says. And apparently he was a faithless man. But the Bible says that there were two women who made a difference in Timothy's life. And what Paul is telling Timothy is, I want you to be that kind of an influence upon other people. It's often the testimony that is given of some after they die. We'll speak of them and we'll say that this was a person who was very important in my life or in yours. They made a difference for us. And because of them, we are faithful today. Well, because of you, some may be faithful and you may not even be aware that you have that kind of influence over them. Because of you, some may be greatly encouraged. We talked about discouragement before. And it is possible that we can be a discouragement to other people. But we need to also know that because of us, others may be encouraged. I don't know about you, but there have been different ones down through the years who've come up to me, and especially, it's not so much needed anymore, but I can remember in the first years of my preaching, and when I was just starting and making very frustrated efforts sometimes and getting frustrated at every, flustered and frustrated at every turn, it seems, in those days. Not to say that it never happens today, but the fact is that it happens far less than what it did then, and that's because practice makes whatever, you know. Well, I hate to say the word perfect, but it makes us a little better over time, doesn't it? In the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 15, the Bible says, "From thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." You can imagine this travel as Paul's making his way. He's now considered a prisoner of the Roman government. And he's traveling with a soldier, chained to that soldier. And Paul looks off in the distance and here's a little group of people coming down the Appian Way from Rome. They're headed to meet him. And he says, "When I saw that sight, I took courage. I took courage." That's exactly what the word encourage means. He thanked God and took courage. He knew that there were some brethren in Rome. And think about it. He had just come from a period of incarceration in Caesarea. And before that, the multitudes hated him and tried to put him to death. intended to kill him. There were a band of brigands who wanted to assassinate him. And now he looks off in the distance and hears this little cluster of men and women coming in his direction. And the Bible says he thanked God and gave courage. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ can do for us. Sometimes it's just a pat on the back. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement. But we can make a great difference in the lives of others. Perhaps a small thing that you may do for someone else can encourage them in that fashion. In Matthew 10:42, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall give a drink to one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Such a small gesture. And yet you know that small gestures can make big differences, can't they? Just at the moment when you need a drink of water, someone offers you a drink of cold water. What an encouragement that can be. Because of you then, some may be rejoicing today. Some people may be very happy today because of you. In Philemon verse 7, this is not something that we read often. The book of Philemon is not such a small book. But Paul wrote, "We have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." The idea that someone could be that much of an encouragement, and yet that's exactly what Philemon was for the Apostle Paul. They were close friends. Paul knew that if he traveled to that part of the world, he could always have a place to stay, that there would be hospitality at the table of his friend Philemon. And he says of him then, "We have great joy and consolation in thy love." What a great thing it is. Philemon may have wondered whether he was accomplishing anything with his life. And Paul said, "Yes, you are, brother. Just to say your name is an encouragement to me." And it's important that we be that kind of people with others. That others can just be encouraged, just to think about us. Now, how is that so? Well, you know, you do favors for people, even small things for others. And that will make a difference, won't it? And they'll be encouraged and they will rejoice because of the difference that you make in their life. But also because of you, some may be zealous in the Lord's work. As I've said, it's easy to get discouraged. But in God's work, it's also easy to be zealous and encouraged. How? Well, because of someone else. They can make that kind of a difference in us. Paul said, "For I know the forwardness of your mind," in 2 Corinthians 9:2. "I know the forwardness of your mind," he said, "for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many." Your zeal has provoked very many. If you can be enthusiastic, don't get downhearted. Be enthusiastic about things. And let me tell you something. That's just like a bad cold, except in the good way. A bad cold, everybody catches it, don't we? It seems like they just go amongst us and between us so easily, colds do. Because it's easy to catch it, isn't it? Well, in the same way, our work may motivate others to work like waves in a pond. You can drop a single stone into a pond, and the waves will make their way to the shore, won't they? You can watch that circle. Just toss that stone into the pond, and that quiet water suddenly will begin to ripple and make waves. Even though they're very small, in the context of that, at the same time, the encouragement and the motivation that others bring into our lives can be critically important. Here's a statement that I read a few years ago, and I remembered it and wrote it down and sometimes cite it. Here's one of those cases. The lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn, shipwrecked brother, seeing, may take heart again. What a beautiful thought that we can just by something that we do make a difference in the lives of others. Paul wrote to the church that we know of as the Hebrews. It was probably the Jerusalem church, or at least somewhere in Judea. And he referred to those now dead, those now past, whose lives have been lived and they're gone. And he says of them in Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember those who had the leadership over you, those who have spoken God's word to you. Think about the impact of their lives and imitate their faith. Now that's what God wants us to be. Jesus, you'll remember, warned, and we spoke of it this morning in our Bible class. He warned of the leaven of the Pharisees, which was hypocrisy. Here in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, he's talking about just exactly the opposite. He's talking about the leaven of Christianity, genuine and real. And he says it motivates and it encourages others to do right also. That's what we ought to share. That's the leaven that we should be insisting upon in our own lives, the lives of our families, and the lives of others around us. I thank you for listening today. Perhaps there's one who would take a step out into the aisle and let it be known. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Christ. I want to be called by His name and called a disciple of Christ.